Listen. You smell something?
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience.
We never talk anymore. What a lovely singing voice you must have.
Uh-oh.
Boy, this new program is really something.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, Ghostbusters game. Somebody should have thought of this years ago.
Ready!
If there's a steady paycheck in it, I'll believe anything you say.
We're ready to believe you!
Ghostheads, the podcast, episode 17. The Not Quite Ready for Primetime Paranormal Illuminators. Hello and welcome to Ghostheads, the voice of the Ghostbusters online community. I'm Jason Hughes.
And I'm Luke Crisali, now with Kung Fu Grip.
Yes, the powerful Kung Fu Grip edition. Now, in this episode, we're going to do something totally different that we don't normally do. We're actually going to talk about just mainly one topic. And that, this time around, is going to be Dragon Con
Malamar.
Slash... What's that?
Is it Malamars?
No, not Malamars, not this time around. Maybe next time.
Damn.
But this time around, we're going to talk about Dragon Con slash PKE Surge 2010, a post-mortem, so to speak.
How and can we have... talk about that if we're there?
Well, we have this ability, and it's kind of cool. We have quite the cast of characters with us this time around. We have with us this time around Velvet Delamar.
She's back?
Yes, she's back.
Hey, we're back. Okay.
We also have Nicole Ballier.
It's okay, you can pronounce it any way you want, because I can't even pronounce it myself.
All right, Ballavere works. Matt Burkett.
Oh, hi. How's it going? This should be fun.
This will be awesome. And also, last and certainly not least, Ben...
If he is last.
Yeah, well, last on the stick, but good enough. Ben Longleese.
Matt, he called you Burkett, like the female version of Matt. Own. Burkettid.
Oh.
Wow, oh, thank you.
Matilda.
That's what you get for wearing pants in this interview.
I think this is going to be definitely one of our more interesting episodes. The first thing that leaps to mind, since both Luke and I were unable to attend this prestigious event, was
the economic recovery.
Well, besides that,
does that make you qualified to do this interview? Someone fire this guy.
I don't know.
Where's Ron?
Ron couldn't be with us.
Ron's still
trapped
on the 13th floor.
Again?
Yeah. Afraid so.
Well, the first question off the top of my mind is, what possessed all of you to go to PKE Surge this time around? Nicole, let's start with you.
This time around, I guess after the last time around, it's actually a really cool time to actually meet up with everybody and to have madness ensue. It's a pretty interesting experience, to say the least, because everybody comes from all over, and anything can happen, and it did.
Ben, how about you?
Well, I guess our grand crouton, Ryan Burke. Hi, Berkey Boo, shut up! Went last year before Louisiana had really put together a sizable franchise and just went on and on about it. You can't go on the GB fans boards or any community board for that matter without hearing about how much fun Dragon Con is for Ghostbusters fans. So really, as far as the franchise goes, we've just sort of exploded over the last couple months, and we just couldn't see ourselves not getting involved, if for anything, just to kind of get our little drop in the bucket in the huge Ghostbusters community as it's growing so big. And we wanted to kind of be a part of that, see a part of that, learn a lot from that. And it sure didn't disappoint.
Oh, that's definitely true. Velvet, you know, what possessed you to go?
Well, I was planning to go last year, but I wasn't able to. And I really wanted to be with people that I know I couldn't be with all year because, you know, everybody lives so far apart. But, you know, just being with friends and getting to see, you know, people that I never get to see ever was pretty much, for the most part, what I wanted to do at Dragon Con.
Now, you guys got there and there was the Dragon Con parade, and there were tons and tons of ghost heads there. I don't remember the final count, but when you finally saw everybody all out there, what was your initial reaction?
Good thing I'm not wearing khaki.
My initial reaction?
Yeah, we'll start with you, Val.
I was surprised. There's, like, so many ghost heads. It's just not really daunting, but it's just, I don't know. I get this feeling, like, this overwhelming feeling of, like, just awe. It's just amazing how many of us just got together in, like, one place. It's actually pretty damn awesome.
Pretty damn awesome. That's a good way to describe it. What about you, Matt?
I was really glad I wasn't wearing khaki, because you people look like sheep, for one. But, that's the second parade I've been in as a Ghostbuster, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was a lot more cars than the last one I've been in, and I don't know, the crowd reaction was pretty great, too. I think that was the thing. I liked the attention, and the fact I got to do this with all my friends, that's another great thing about the parade and Dragon Con in general, just being able to hang out with your friends that you don't, like Vel said, you don't get to see very often. So that was my favorite part.
Now, when you guys found out that you beat the 500 in first as far as the showing, what was your reaction to that?
I didn't even know we did. I knew nothing about that. That's amazing. I know me and Velvet were kind of a little bit late to the parade.
Yeah, they got
it. Yeah,
no.
Just a tad.
Yeah, you guys
we were Ghostbusters ninjas.
We are.
Kind of gratifying, actually.
We avoided really the good. We avoided
okay,
the crowd without hearing people.
I think the grand total was, I think we had like 67 Ghostbusters and 7 cars, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, we had a lot of people.
It was a lot more than I expected, having just seen pictures and heard stories. And then you take a look at how many, and even right the last few minutes before the parade, a lot of people in a couple cars showed up right then and there. And suddenly your group got even, you know, 20% bigger than it was already. And I'm just like, wow, this is everything I had expected and more.
So it was basically like organized chaos the majority of the time, or?
It wouldn't be Ghostbusters if it was anything else.
Well, you got a point.
I don't think it was more, I don't think there was as much chaos, actually. It was pretty neat, and I didn't see the epic proportion of Ghostbusterness until I was in the room later on and turned on Dragon Con TV, and they were re-showing the parade. Because Velvet and I were in the front, and we had gotten there late, so we didn't get to see the lineup. And later on, I was just like, there's an Ecto, and there's more Ghostbusters, and you hear the audience going, oh my goodness, there's more, and everybody's reaction was just really, really neat. So
I was in the
it'd
very
be interesting
back.
To see if next year you could actually make it bigger.
From the very back, at the very end, and behind the Denver Ecto, you couldn't see the end of it. You couldn't see the front. That's how big it was, and that's where we kind of really started to get a scope of, wow, we really are taking up a huge chunk of this parade.
What would you say the general reaction was from the public?
They were surprised because they were like, yay, Ghostbusters, and they were excited, and then I could just kind of hear back a little bit, oh, wow, there's more Ghostbusters, and the kids were really, really excited. And as you can tell with Velvet and I, we were high-fiving a few kids that were dressed up and costumed and really liked it. So the more Ghostbusters they saw, it seemed the happier they were to see such a broader showing this year.
It's almost like they knew we were coming. There was an LSU game going on in Atlanta that weekend, so Louisiana kind of felt like they had a little bit of extra love because there was a lot of purple and gold out there, and they saw we. I just happened to bring our little banner along with us, and when they saw that banner and they knew that Louisiana was there to represent all those folks from Baton Rouge and around Louisiana, you know, in the middle of this parade, it's probably the last thing they expected to see. So we felt appreciated. That was nice.
Now with like. Did it seem like it was like kind of hard to, you know, get set up for the parade or not really? Just, you know, just like meet at one place, or did it seem like, you know, Dragon Con staff had, you know, pretty good control over it or not really?
They kept moving us around. We were in one spot and then they came over like, "Oh, you're in the pirate spot." We moved and then like three pirates showed up. And I thought that was hilarious. And then they kept moving where our cars were, I think, if I remember correctly.
Probably didn't expect so many.
Yeah, that probably is it.
I didn't feel it was unorganized at all as far as Dragon Con staff going. I had a pretty good dialogue with them going into it. And then I felt like we were all just kind of together as a unit. We moved as a unit. Dan, I hate to bring his name up in a
positive way because it might explode his ego, but Dan did a really good job of just kind of bringing everybody together, getting us in line, helping us pick an ecto and make sure we stayed by it so it wasn't too chaotic during the course of the parade. And he was out there in the back with us, kind of making sure we didn't fall behind, shaking too many hands, or we didn't get in the way of the cars and get run over by the Denver ecto as it was proceeding. So and I imagine that was going on throughout the whole lineup. Yep. You guys in the front, was that kind of how it was going as well?
I'm actually mad because Dan didn't threaten me enough during the parade. That was my biggest issue.
Now, we've seen the videos, but we don't know exactly how long was the parade for you guys in time-wise?
Not that long.
Time seemed to warp. It seemed to warp. I don't know how long it really was. It went by pretty quickly, especially for our mad dash to get there. And then afterwards, it seemed to go by pretty fast, but I'm quite sure, what was it, like 15 minutes, maybe longer? I have no idea.
Not really.
Couldn't have been longer
than that. You get so caught up with everything. Yeah.
The official parade was what?
We kept looking at time.
Tenths of a mile, maybe?
Yeah, it was
not a long parade route to begin with. And it was moving constantly. It didn't stop except once or twice. Yeah. Yeah, my feet weren't killing me at the end, and I walk in $15 Army surplus boots, so it couldn't have been that long. It sure didn't feel like a very long parade.
Well, a lot of the videos that they had shown about the parade, I know this one company, This Week in Tech, covered the entire parade, and that turned out to be approximately a half hour, 45 minutes. So you guys were probably moving fast enough that it did seem like a giant time warp in a way.
Plus, you know, you get taken by surprise when you look up and you see people on ledges hanging over, taking pictures. And there's people everywhere you turn your head, and you're just like, whoa. you feel like you're almost
people
in a Macy's parade.
Yeah, the crowd. People on ledges thing really blew me away. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, I didn't
expect that. I saw it last year. I was walking last year, looked up, and was like, oh, my God, people on ledges. And I made specifically sure to look this year to see if that same ledge was full of people. And sure enough, it was full of people again.
What was the reaction you guys were getting from the other people in costume? Were like, you know, Trekkies coming up to you guys and like giving you high fives, or were they just kind of avoiding you and trying to stay away?
I actually got a pretty decent response, seeing as how my Ghostbuster costume was not your typical Ghostbuster costume. In fact, it was very untypical of myself, seeing as how it was a Janine version of the comic book cover. I had the midriff going on, so I got, Ghostbusters, oh wow, she did a creative job.
She was trying very hard not to have it blow up during the parade because of the wind blowing so hard.
So we didn't have
Austin, Austin tried on my shirt, so he kind of stretched it a little bit.
That he did.
Here's a visual audio for the sleep flip tonight now.
What?
Other
than the parade, what did you guys do? What other activities took place at the Dragon Con?
Me and Velvet went Mystery Science Theater crazy. That's what we did.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of
time
with Star Trek.
We were being pimped out by Joel Hodgson. That's what we were doing.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of True Bloods.
Were there any other Ghostbuster-related events, or was it just the parade primarily?
No, there was a couple other things going on.
Yeah, there was a few other things. I unfortunately didn't make them a priority because Dragon Con, to me, even though I love my Ghostbusters and I love Ghostbusters, it's not the only thing that's at Dragon Con, and I like to take full advantage of everything that I'm there for. So I definitely made sure to be a part of the parade, definitely made sure to stop by a few times. But True Blood, meeting the cast, going to those panels, and Mystery Science Theater, they took big precedence over a lot of things.
I spent a lot of time with TAPS and the Paranormal Track, and we went to the TAPS panel, and they basically had Steve Gonzalez, Dave Tango, and Amy were all there from TAPS, if you watch Ghost Hunters, and I wanted to go up there and ask them a few questions about some of their paranormal investigations, and because we get asked a lot at our charity events, do you guys actually do ghost busting? And I'm like, well, first of all, if I ever went to a paranormal investigation, I wouldn't wear a no ghost patch on my arm and piss something off, but they didn't want to answer questions about themselves because I happened to be in my full gear with the pack on. They wanted me to go on stage and show them how my pack worked. And it was actually hard for me to get Steve and Tango to answer a question about the Ghost Hunters because they were more interested in our costume and what we did than my question to them. So that was kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool, though, that's what we actually.
Yeah. I think Steve was staying at our hotel, actually, the Sheraton. I saw him walk by. Remember when we were outside and we saw him walk by?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He did kind of wander in Sunday morning like he didn't know where he was.
Yeah, I think he was staying there. He was probably, like, over or something.
He was probably
I think so, from the night before he was. Because I ran into him the night before, that Saturday night at the Hilton with Sam. Yeah, so that's interesting.
Now, was there...
One of the coolest things about going... Go ahead, Jason.
No, go ahead, Ben.
Well, I was just going to say one of the coolest things about going to these conventions for me is that not only with other members of the Ghostbusters community, but even with celebrities you've been watching your whole life, when you have that moment where you look them in the eye and they're not a two-dimensional image and you shake their hand and you feel their cold, clammy palm and you realize they're just another person, whether it's someone you've been IMing on Facebook or you message on the GB Fans website or someone you used to watch on TV as a kid, that moment to me is solid gold when you can actually make, you know, physical contact with that person at that moment and kind of seal the relationship or bring it to a little closer to reality, bring them forward from, you know, the fantasy part of your life that that's always been, or that little private sector of your personal business.
But it's completely that surreal, moment. Too. I mean, shell.
It is.
Remember, Velvet, when me and you in the Mystery Science Theater, when they were all over us, we were just like, what? What just happened? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it was the most shocking moment. You have, like, shell shock afterwards. We get back to the room, and we're going, did that just happen? Did we just do that?
Yeah, that's
oh my
when you
God.
Gotta hug the puppets. Hug Crow.
Ben, you used to watch. Ben, you used to watch me on TV when you were a little kid. That's kind of weird.
Okay, Burkett, that's strike two. I'm locked and loaded, and one more time, you're out of here.
Aww. You only get one good joke out of me an hour, and we've been on for what, like, 30 minutes? So
about 30 minutes. Oh, yeah,
eventually show up.
Now, was there was some sort of dinner, am I right, like on Saturday night or something?
Oh, yeah.
I vaguely remember
the fans meet-up dinner.
How did that go? I mean, was it, you know, just a dinner? Was there, like, an awards thing and, you know, like, more, like, video-type thing? Or what exactly happened?
Well, Velvet and I missed the first pass.
Missed the what?
There was actually two dinners?
No.
There was an actual dinner the first night, and then the second night is the one Nicole's talking about, that they made it towards the end. So we kind of had an impromptu dinner the first night, and then the official scheduled, you know, reserved the upper floor type deal was the second night, where the monkeys were in the cages and things like that were going upstairs.
Now, what was this restaurant's reaction to having, you know, 30 or however many ghost heads in the restaurant?
Oh, they were
ready pretty
for
cool
us.
About it.
Much better than the varsity from last year.
Oh, God. I heard too many stories about that.
There's not enough TVs to turn off.
I don't think there was any TVs in the vicinity to turn off.
Nobody
yelling
what
they didn't
have. Trouble.
So they were expecting
us. Nobody got into trouble.
Well, that's not entirely true. From what me and Jason have seen, we don't know what the true story is behind this, so maybe you guys can actually clarify it. We heard that a certain somebody with a Dodge Magnum had some incidents with the police.
In what city?
I don't think it was an incident.
Which city?
Oh, that's right. One Ghostbuster got pulled over, and it's on YouTube. It's totally on YouTube.
Yeah,
the
that was Boomer. Cough.
Yeah, the interesting with that thing
video
was
breaking down my dreams and aspirations.
Yeah, the weird thing with that was that was like the first video that I saw out of Dragon Con, and it's like out of all the videos, you know, you figure okay, there'd be something about the parade.
I think I sent you that one too.
What it was you, and actually there was a whole bunch of other people too. Somehow it got posted on GB Fans and like exploded.
Little did that girl know her little video would become so popular.
Yeah. There was definitely a lot of climbing in windows and snatching people up, trying to rape them, so y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your husbands, too, because they're raping everybody up there.
Now, what was your guys' reaction to seeing that many Ectos in one spot?
More than I thought would be there. More than I was told would be there.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I only knew about maybe three, and there were more than that. So I was surprisingly surprised.
There was so many, I didn't look at them all. Exactly.
Where the heck did they all park? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. They all
parking
came out
garage?
Of the woodworks or something.
Parking
I got
garage.
To go see Gary
yeah, I think
the
they were
Flows.
In the garage.
And just got a peek at a couple others, and then boom, we were moving, and then that was it. And I never really got a close look at many of them at all. It just happened so fast, and there were so many of them. You would have needed 30 minutes to just get a good look at each one of them. And I don't think the last one pulled up until we only had about 3 or 4 minutes, and then the parade started moving. Pretty cool.
There was another dinner.
Oh, I was
going to
say, Kevin actually was... Oh. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, no, it's fine. Go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, I was actually glad Kevin actually was nice enough to give both me and CJ, yeah, thank you, CJ and I a ride in his car. We actually helped him with the photo shoot. It was Kevin and then Chase and then the New Jersey guys. We actually got to help them do their photo shoot that Kevin, I guess, posted pictures of. That was kind of cool.
Are those the ones with the skyline behind them? Those came up gorgeous.
Yeah.
Those are hot.
It was
those
fun.
Nice. I'd buy a calendar with that.
We got to ride in it on Sunday. That was fun.
Yeah, I think the best part of that whole situation, though, was when Kevin decided to take CJ and I back to the Hilton. We drove past the front of Hilton, and we're like, hey, that's our hotel. He's like, I'm going to take you guys around the corner and give you the star treatment. So he went around, came back. As Susie pulled onto the Hilton property, hit the lights and music and everything, and there's a whole crowd of drunk people out front, and they just started cheering as we got out of the car. It was kind of awesome.
After the Vortex on Sunday night, he kidnapped me and Austin and Sandra and Scott, and we went running around Atlanta with the music blasting. And then we went to the stadium, and Scott took footage of the car. That was awesome.
So no one other than just the one vehicle got pulled over?
Well,
go ahead.
Pulled over several times in New York and Washington.
Yeah, he got pulled over by Secret Service.
The one Ecto, I forget which one it was. Remember, Velvet, we were up on the second floor of the Hyatt, and someone, I forget which one, because there were so many, pulled in. The cops actually were down there, and they let him run his lights and stuff.
Yeah, that was Boomers. They took pictures of it. Like, they were, the cops were just sitting there hanging out there with him, like, hey, let's take pictures of it. Take pictures in front of the Ecto. Like, they were just totally cool with him just parking it there and running the lights and the music.
Meanwhile, the people in the screen are like, leave the Ghostbusters
alone.
He's
only got slaps on the wrist.
He's allowed to run the lights and stuff if he's not moving. So that's why they let him do it.
He went near a block away from the White House, and I heard the feds weren't exactly pleased with a car that had stickers on it that said danger radioactive being parked that close to the White House.
Because I mean, if I was going to blow up the White House, I'd totally show up with a car that says nuclear on the side.
With a capital U in the middle, right?
Well, that's right, it.
Thumbs up. Now.
Nuclear.
Jay, we got to edit out this.
Nuclear.
What's that?
Nuclear.
We're going to be on a watch list now.
No.
Oh, well. It could be worse.
It's a joke, people. Get it. No, I'm kidding.
Now, has anyone seen, as the date that we're recording this, it's actually September 16th, there was a trailer that had just come out, it's literally been out only a few hours, about the actual, like, fans and community, and there's talk that this actually might turn into a full-blown documentary. What do you guys think of that, since there a lot of it was from DragonCon?
The mojo to make it happen. It's Adam Schwartz. Shout out to Adam. Adam is from Huntsville. I think he's with the Rocket City Ghostbusters, and he has the tools and he has the skills and the technology, and I think it's got potential to be of Trekkie caliber. If you ever saw the Trekkie documentary about Star Trek fans,
so he has the tools, he has the talent.
Wait, Star Trek has fans?
Let's not open that can of worms.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah, we got some Trekkies here, and I'm not one of them, but I will yield the floor.
Well, there is a difference. We're not getting into that difference because that takes a while to explain, but I digress.
Does that mean one day we're going to have ghost heads and ghost heeds or something like that? Like two different characters of Ghostbuster fans that are arguing with each other about nomenclature when they should be hugging and embracing their fandom?
We're hoping everything's
right.
I kind of doubt that ever's going to happen.
We're just going to have them have two separate kinds of Ghostbusters fans, you know, Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 fans, and they'll be arguing which one's better.
It was gray. It was khaki.
Gray.
That's all I hear.
Gray. Khaki. Get out of here.
Ant legs out.
Just yell con, right, Velvet?
Oh,
con.
Con.
Mister con. Mister.
I think, back on topic, it's about time for a Ghostbusters documentary, and I think it'd be freaking fantastic, because as you know, and as you can tell, every year, it's just getting bigger and bigger, and so many people are just, like, everywhere you go, I mean, at work, they call me Ghostbusters, because I wear a Ghostbusters pendant around my neck, and I forgot to wear it one day, and they're like, oh, what happened to your Ghostbuster necklace? I said, I'm powerless.
Well, I know there was some guy in Italy who was making documentary. I don't know whatever happened to it, but he actually had a good, decent amount of interview work done. Not sure what happened to him. I think it was called Cleaning Up the Town or something like that.
Well, I think that was actually
the
UK.
I think they're still working on it. Yeah, I think it's UK, and I think they're still working on it.
That seems to be more of a general, it seems to be more of a general analysis of the actors and the people who made the movie, not the fans. So I think, yeah, this could work out to be something pretty damn good.
And then they can put it on the Ghostbusters 3 DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, huh?
What? And it's good to know that something good is going to come out of Alabama besides Brock Parker's hair.
Oh.
Aww.
I had always said that there should have been a Ghostbusters little either featurette or documentary thing in the two or three iterations of the DVD that has come out since 1999. I always said, you know, they should... At the very least, when I thought of this originally, which was probably, what, circa 03, you know, get the, at the very least, get the webmasters of the major websites at the time, you know, GBHQ, Ghostbusters.net, Spook Central, Proton Charging, so on and so forth, and, you know, sit them down in a room, put cameras on them, mic them, and then just have them talking about the fandom.
Yeah, and just tie it all together. They kind of did that well when AJ's spouting off each of the different sources of fan bases on the trailer, and I hope they do a lot more of that in the final product.
I think it would be perfect. Who doesn't want to see Troy talk about Natalie Portman?
Long as he's also talking about the Natalie Portman rap.
Yes, Troy and his Natalie Portman. But, we digress.
Actually, I think he's moved on to Mary Elizabeth Winstead, but who hasn't?
Let's not talk about that.
And also, while I'm thinking about it, and had everybody here, there was just a recent news article dealing with, of all people, Dan Aykroyd again, saying about this part of his Crystal Head Vodka tour is going to be it for a while, because he's saying Ghostbusters 3 is going into production, you know, in spring of 2011. Is this just major wishful thinking? Or could this actually, you know, be the case? If it was me, I'm thinking it's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
There's too much chatter lately for it not to be legit, at least a little legit. There's just too much going on. Look how quiet it was 3 years ago compared to since the video game came out. Maybe it's just the video game, but there's just too much chatter for there not to be something.
Well, also, then you have people like Boomer driving his car through Manhattan. Thank you, by the way. Mm-hmm. And
MC,
you know,
Chris.
Like that, reporting that it's in production. And now I got people asking me all the time, oh, you live in New York, it's filming there, isn't it? No, not yet. Thank you, Boomer. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Big shout out to aceshowbiz.com. You guys can really fact check like it's no tomorrow. Make sure you go to a fan site first before you post something. Okay, thanks, bye.
So much for that little rant.
Hold. And rant.
But, what is your general, what do you guys think of this thing? Do you think it's actually happening?
I would like it to. It's in Hollywood, anything is possible. You know, I think Dan Aykroyd really, really wants to do it. So maybe he'll figure out something, because out of everybody, he seems to be the most eminent and the most excited about it.
He's ready for it.
So if anybody can make it happen, I'm sure he could.
More importantly, do you guys actually want to see it happen, or are you happy with what we have?
No. Well,
you know,
it's a mixed bag.
It's a double thing.
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need a whole new pack to build.
Kind of do, but I don't.
Well, see, the thing is, as long as you're all smart and know how to keep it separate, you have your Ghostbusters movie. That's it. That's Ghostbusters. And you have Ghostbusters 2, which some people really like it, and some people don't. So then Ghostbusters 3, you just got to look at it as an extension, not like as a replacement or anything else, just something else to add to the Ghostbusters history. And, you know, it could be good and it could be not so good. But if it is or it isn't, it's another thing to add to the Ghostbusters list. And it could be fantastic. I'm not going to knock it, you know?
Yeah, who's not going to go see it if they make it in this room?
That was going to be my next question. I'm like, who in their right mind would not go and see this? Who would not go and blow $11 to see this? I would.
Comic book nerd that you'd be like, I refuse to go see it on the grounds that I respect the original too much. It's not going
to
happen.
Well, say that to a whole bunch of the Transformers fans that never went to see any of the Transformers movies, but anyway.
Or Star Trek fans, but you know what? I love that movie. I'm a lifelong Star Trek fan. It wasn't Star Trek, but it was a good movie,
you.
And I was entertained by it.
Oh, you're right. It was.
I have a whole
different point of view of Star Trek.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the J.J. Abrams iteration of Star Trek. Good update.
I loved all the lens flare.
Yeah, there was a lot of lens flare.
He always has lens flare. There's always lens flare. They had that video at DragonCon, too, where they made it. They made fun of it. Well, like breakfast. There's a guy sitting there eating cereal, and they just kept adding lens flare.
I saw that. That was good.
Oh, God, I did.
Yeah.
Although, what I want to see is the literal interpretation of that movie, like what that one guy did with the 70-minute literal interpretation of every Star Wars movie. Luke, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. The 70-minute of episode one, actually quite well done by, I think it was Red Letter Media. Just watched it again the other day. It was really made some brilliant points. I'm actually kind of hoping he does Ghostbusters at some point, but at the same point, hoping he doesn't, because he literally tore episode one a new one, and it already had about 7 new ones torn into it the past decade or so. He did a good job.
That's very true. Was there anything else that at Dragon Con that really, you know, stood out to anybody? How about you, Matt? Was there anything that, you know, really, like, stood out in your mind at all, whether it be, you know, GB-wise or otherwise, I should say?
I remember accidentally kicking Ron in the balls. That stood out to me. what else do we do? There was the PK Surge awards that were given out. There was, I think, about 5 of them. There was 3 silver and 2 gold, and I won one of the gold. It was kind of cool.
Now, these awards, what about? Like, what were the awards for? Was it like best fan of the year or something like that?
Well, yeah, I won. Horn, but Louisiana did walk away with 3.
Yes, you did. What, you, for breaking something, I think? And yeah. I don't remember.
Best destruction of a prop, and one was a random drawing. But actually, we did get a Lady Buster who won best. What was it? Best Ghostbuster with ovaries or something like that?
Oh. Yeah.
So, that was nice.
And actually, Philly won two.
Matt
with Jack
got biggest
Dowd.
In the
what was that, Vel?
Said Matt got biggest.
What'd you say, Vel?
In the community award.
Yeah, that was me. biggest asshole in the community. I got an award for that. And Jack Dowd won a door prize.
I was trying to censor it. Thanks, Matt.
Personality.
What exactly do these awards look?
Gold ones I know are a gold PKE. I don't know what the silver ones look like though.
What we've been told is Jen's gonna get. I think Hooker's putting them together now. It's gonna be a resin silver painted Nestle Crunch bar, possibly on mounted on a plaque or something like that.
Nicely done.
That's cool.
Now overall, what would you individually? What would you say your favorite moments or moment of the con was that you?
God, it was such a great weekend.
I'm paying attention again. What?
It's got to be the parade. How do you top that? How do you top that feeling and being surrounded by so many people?
Well, we could
Was there a few things that happened in Dragon Con that stayed in Dragon Con?
No, not for me. I'm a little bit more on top of things when it comes to that. I don't let myself get involved in anything that would have to stay at Dragon Con. But, you know, I had so many moments at Dragon Con this year that you really can't pick just one. I mean, like the two, like between Mystery Science Theater, True Blood, and just being surrounded by everybody that you know and care about, and you only get to see like that one time of the year, is pretty insane. You know, I got to take a picture with the cast from True Blood that was there dressed up as the queen, and they loved my costume. So it's always fantastic to have people that you like actually compliment you on what you do. And then you have the Mystery Science Theater guys, right, Velvet, who were just insane about our outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And asking us how we did it and where did we get this and wow. And Trace was like, wow, I make a hot girl. And I was like, oh, shit. I couldn't believe it. We were just like, this is insane. Little did we think, growing up watching Mystery Science Theater, we were going to be standing in a room with them just Googling over us.
You and I both had huge crushes on Joel when we were younger. So the fact that, you know, he was pretty much drooling over us made us just go nuts.
That's like that ultimate, like, fan goal in a way for everyone that you've, you know, grew up watching to have that reciprocated back is just an amazing feeling.
Now, get to have them ask about my costume was just nuts. Like, where did you get this jacket and where did you find these glasses and how did you do this and how did you do that? I'm like, I'm supposed to be asking you those questions. You're asking me those questions. That's amazing.
Was there actually anybody from any of the Ghostbusters movies or cartoons there? Because we had heard that Maurice LaMarche was actually going to show up. Had any of you met him?
Actually, he canceled. It was so annoying.
Yeah.
I was very sad.
That was the one thing I was looking for.
I thought I heard the voice of Slimer was there somewhere. I forgot the name of the actor who did Slimer's voice, but I might have heard he was there, but I can't confirm that.
Probably.
I know Ernie Hudson's going to be at Wizard World in Austin coming up very soon in November. The Houston area Ghostbusters had invited us to go out and meet him there and meet Ernie.
Oh, Ernie Hudson's going to be in Austin.
Yep, he's going to Austin, possibly in the Ecto-1 to Wizard World Austin. And Houston is bringing every prop they have to get him to sign it out there. And we were supposed to go out and meet him, but I think we have a diabetes event going on the same weekend. So the diabetics get priority over Ernie, unfortunately.
Ernie Hudson will be around. He'll be doing shows. He's not stopping.
Now, did you guys do any charity work? Any of you guys do any charity work while you're actually down there?
In Atlanta, not so. We didn't get to do anything. I mean, I made sure I love kids, so I made it specific to actually, you know, pay attention to the kids in the parade this time. And, you know, there were so many of them, and it was such an amazing thing to, like, just bring a smile to a kid's face is just one of the things I love to do the most. So anytime I can do that, I definitely try.
Yeah, it made me miss mine, though, seeing all the little kids.
I think DragonCon for us was a bit of a break from the responsible stuff and a chance to actually be, you know, costumed idiots for a change. Like, this, we all started with the costumed idiots thing, and then suddenly we're doing charity work constantly, and it's awesome, and it's something that I wouldn't continue to wear the outfit if I couldn't do that, but every now and then you want to go back to your roots, and for me, Dragon Con was that. It was a chance to go back to that first Halloween, wearing that first crappy pack that I threw together with that off-colored suit, and just be a Ghostbuster for a little while.
Yeah, Ben, when are you going to upgrade that uniform anyway? How long ago was that, your first Halloween?
Oh, that's it. You're getting shot because I was wearing khaki at the parade and you didn't even notice.
No, as the Philadelphia Ghostbuster,
we
weren't doing any charity down there. We, as a group, only do one charity event at a time, and we've been collecting for Autism Walk that we're doing on October 2nd. So we were just down there being goofballs. And actually, two of our members are actually being assholes, literally assholes. They were spaceballs. So, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yay.
Yes, I did see those pictures.
I ran into them on the floor. It was fantastic. Actually got a helmet removal. He's like, it's me. I'm like, what? Oh, asshole.
that was TJ. TJ was like, oh, I talk to you in chat sometimes.
Was one of your guys that guy in the dark helmet
safari outfit hat, because I saw one person with a dark helmet safari outfit when he was at Comb the Desert.
I'm not actually sure what group that was, but TJ and Jack actually did meet up with him for a photo shoot. So there's also a guy dressed as Barf. I think there's also a woman dressed as Barf too. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, I saw a dude as Barf.
Sounds like you guys.
Anyway, Ghostbusters.
Now this.
All right.
This begs the question. Is everyone planning on heading back for DragonCon 2011? I mean, as of this point in time?
I'm definitely going to be there. It's the 25th anniversary, so not only is it going to be at DragonCon, they're planning a massive, 25th anniversary event. So it should be epic on many levels, especially if we can get everybody else back there again, or maybe even more.
Okay.
You know, I found it really interesting talking to some of the, it was my first time there, and talking to the guy from Kansas City. I wish I remembered his name, but he told me he had been going to Dragon Con for 19 years. Now, I don't know if all 19 of those years could have been as a Ghostbuster, but that kind of gives you an idea of how long Ghostbusters might have had a presence at Dragon Con. And come hell or high water, rain or shine, no matter what happens within the community, new movie, no new movie, websites come, websites go, I think there's always going to be a very strong Ghostbusters presence at Dragon Con, and I think some very interesting things are in the works for next year.
Now, would anyone ever travel to a convention, since Ghostbusters is a New York movie, bread and butter to the core. Would anyone travel to New York for any sort of convention there at all?
I would have had the money. Since I live in PA,
it's
a two-hour drive for me. So,
yeah
I was at the Big Apple Con last year.
I never got to go I think I went to the Big Apple Con once or twice, but actually I found Wizard World Philadelphia right in your neighborhood, Matt, was bigger and better for me personally, but I miss New York. That would be an excuse to go back after living there for 5 years. I'd go.
Now, what about L.A.? Maybe you guys see Station 23, see the Biltmore, or anything like that?
I feel like the biggest idiot, having never seen it with all my time in New York. Never went and saw it.
Well, we would be glad to have you.
I haven't been to New York yet, so I figure it would be a perfect excuse to go to New York, if that were the time.
There you go.
To do so. It's all about time and money and everything like that, and, Atlanta is so much closer and so much cheaper to get to, being in very South Florida.
Being in New York, I have a question for you. Since September 11th just came and went, what happened at all the fire stations after September 11th. I was there too. I'm curious, at our particular Ghostbuster related fire station, if you ever, during those weeks after that event, after the attacks, got a chance to go by that particular fire station and see how it was affected, and if it was affected like all the other stations were, with basically every fire station was a shrine.
Well, they actually had lost their captain. He was the only one in the whole house that didn't make it back that day. Their truck was pretty well damaged. The house itself was far enough away, but still at the same point close enough that they took a pretty big emotional hit. A lot of the guys that used to work there eventually had transferred onto other houses, and then sadly, they didn't make it out that day either. And it's literally, you could walk out the door at ladder 8, make a left, and look up, and the towers would have been right there. And they were really close. It was literally right down the block. So,
yeah, they were like one of the first houses there on the scene.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
There's one that was right across the street that got pretty well decimated, actually. And then Latterly, it would have been next. It's actually, a lot of people consider it kind of a miracle that only one didn't make it out. But his name was Captain Vincent Halloran, Lieutenant Vincent Halloran. Actually, so they got pretty well. They're doing pretty well now.
Yeah, my aunt actually worked in one of the buildings, but luckily she wasn't there. So.
It definitely wasn't the best time, but one thing that I remember was this community actually pulled itself together pretty well at the time, and they helped out. That's one good thing about this community is we might fight and we might bicker and we might complain all the time, but when it comes down to it, everybody seems to, you know, pull this stuff together, strap up the bootstraps, and do everything right for the good cause.
Yeah. Those hard times, you remember those ties that bind and brought everybody together in the first place, and that's really what matters in the end, whether you're just interested in propping or you're trying to save lives with the props. It's a love for one thing that brought everybody together in the first place, and everybody would do well to remember that.
Yeah, I remember on that day, on the old Ghostbusters message board, when Ghostbusters.net was still in transition, and everyone gave out the major roll call. It's like, okay, is everyone still alive? And just, oh, that was just that one huge thread that day. It's like, yeah, I'm still here, and just kept going for pages and pages on end. I was actually surprised at how many people were able to respond in short order. It was kind of like awe-inspiring in a way, but also mind-blowing, because there was even people that came out of the woodwork that, you know, had like disappeared for 6 months to a year or a little bit more, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, I'm here. It was just mind-blowing.
You saw the best of everybody. I mean, that's the one good thing you could take away from it. It was tough. I mean, I know for me personally, I lost a lot of friends, and I actually saw the second in my own eyes, and it's still something I see in my head every once in a while. And I remember specifically, actually, the next day, I actually hadn't slept for I don't even know how long it was. And I walked outside around 6 a.m. on the 12th and looked outside and I saw the smoke cloud going over the harbor. And you could smell something, and everybody knew what the smell was. You didn't want to say it. And that was one of the most awful things out of the whole experience. That and the fact that pretty much every day for hours at a time, anywhere near a church, all you would hear is bagpipes playing for funerals. And it was literally like that for weeks and weeks on end. It was tough.
It's definitely that one day of history that no matter who you are, you always remember, and you know what you were doing at the moment it happened. And I remember I thought it was a movie at first. My mom called me and she's like, Kimberly, you have to turn on the TV right now. And I was like, why, what's going on? And then I had my friends in New York, which I couldn't get a hold of because everybody at that time was panicking and making phone calls, and it just lived on. And the actual library that we have here actually has a piece of the Twin Towers in front of it as a memorial. And it's just kind of very heartbreaking and creepy to see it whenever you go by it. But it's a nice thing, but it still makes you think of that day. And not a lot of people really want to remember that day.
I know that they always say that each generation, there's always one thing that, you know, that everyone remembers. I know, like with at least with my parents, the big thing that they remember was when President Kennedy was killed. I mean, they knew exactly where they were and how everything transpired. And then there's other ones that say about the Challenger disaster. Like everyone knew where they were when that happened. But I would say, for us, it would be this. That would be the defining thing of our generation that we would remember.
Well, personally,
it's the worst thing we have to experience.
I don't want to be defined by the tragedy of it all. I remember one of the moments that I loved, love is the term, but one of the moments that I remember the most that actually was inspiring was this. Going parallel to the site, a highway called the West Side Highway. And that's that was the way out. And where all the recovery workers would go out, they would just walk up that road and go to whatever recovery station there was. And there'd be a group of volunteers that would stay there for months and months and months up until they finished the cleanup. And they would just cheer for them. Every one of them, every day, every hour of every day. Whenever they came out, they would cheer and they'd clap for them and high five. And these were just regular people. And I mean, I know I promote my city like Don King on the show, but it's moments like that that make me really proud to be from New York. And that's what I got.
I used to work in the media in New York for CNN, WNBC, and MSNBC, and I had a friend of mine from Louisiana who was a reporter down here get access to Ground Zero 1 month after the attacks, basically volunteering. They call themselves the gumbo crew. They went up there, brought a bunch of food, and cooked for the recovery workers and brought it out to them at the closest last checkpoint to Ground Zero you could get to. So I went down there with him 1 month after the attacks and got to bring food to the workers. And just there was so much of a sort of a small village within all that destruction and those piles of rubble all around where they kind of had little shanty shacks that they had built just to find a place to get away from just all the emotional turmoil that they had to deal with every single day. And they sort of had pins and patches from different organizations pinned up on the walls. They had things that were autographed. And despite all the suffering and all the misery that they were going through and all the grieving that they were having to experience, they still had time to look up at us, who had just been there for 1 day, and smile at us and say, thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Just this one little thing makes it so much easier for us to get through the day. And I cannot imagine what being in that war zone, that DMZ-type, horrible, horrible place, day in and day out, for weeks and weeks at a time, just trying to recover and bring some people some solace and just bring some kind of order back out of that chaos. What would that be like? Can you imagine, even for a second, what that would be like?
That's what I would personally like to see from the community. I mean, I know a lot in this fan community has happened over the past couple of years, and there's been a lot of segregation and infighting, but personally I think we should all just quit the nonsense and realize, you know, we're fans of a movie, we're not Congress, we're not the United Nations. Let's just all get along. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a hippie, but let's all just get along and enjoy what we have, because I've told a few people this before. Yeah, life is short. And I've told a few people this before. I mean, Star Wars fans, they got, you know, 6 movies, books, you know, cartoon series. We don't have nearly as much as they do. So let's just cut the nonsense and just, you know, enjoy what we have. While we have it.
Definitely. I would agree with that.
Not
to cut this short, but we've definitely covered a lot of ground, more ground than I thought we would. But I think we should tie this thing off. I'll start with you, Ben. Where can, you know, people, you know, find out more about you and what the Louisiana GB are doing and everything?
Okay. We have a website and we recently launched a Facebook page. So LouisianaGhostbusters.net is our website, and that's got a list of all the events we have coming up and links to our charities. We pretty much update it every day, especially the Ghostbusters presence that we have on Facebook is almost every single day by several different people updated, because we're a pretty new franchise. Ryan's had some things going on for a while, but he was kind of carrying the load with his wife and a handful of others. Now, you know, suddenly we have enough membership to do things and make things happen. And it didn't take long for us to get out there once or twice. And now we got people calling every day asking us to come to this event. Can you please help us with this charity? Can you make it out this far? Is this too much to ask? And so that's why we launched the Facebook page. It makes it a lot easier. Thank God for modern technology. So Louisiana Ghostbusters on Facebook as well. And if anybody needs us, you know who to call.
Nicole, how about you?
Email?
As far as, I'm down in South Florida now, so I'm on my own as far as a franchise goes at the moment. Actually, I don't really like to, I guess, be a part of a franchise, because I like to help everybody out. I'll help any franchise out, anybody that need me, so to say. And I'm on Facebook. I think it's /Midori Kai. Midori like the drink, and Kai like as an ocean for Hawaiian. You can pretty much find me on there. I don't have a MySpace or anything like that. I am on Twitter with the same name as well. So I'm not that hard to get a hold of. And if you know anybody else, I think all of our Ghostbuster friends are all linked up. So it should be pretty easy to find me.
Oh, that's cool. Matt, how about with you and the Philly Ghostbusters? Is there any place in particular?
Yeah, we have both a website, which is PhiladelphiaGhostbusters.com, which you can check out, and we also are on Facebook, Philadelphia Ghostbusters. And right now we're collecting for donations for Autism Walk that we're doing on October 2nd that we're actually doing with the Steel City Ghostbusters, which I thought was kind of cool. The whole state of Pennsylvania is working on this one, so hopefully we've already raised over $2,500 for it, so hopefully this will be our biggest charity yet.
That's amazing. That's great work, guys.
Yeah, excellent work. Velvet, how about you? Where can people get a hold of you and see what you're up to?
Well, I'm on Facebook. The link is 14carat.inc. I'm also on Twitter as Bella Donna. I'm currently part of, I wouldn't say like, I'm not completely with them, but I am part of the SoCal Ghostbusters, and you can find them at SoCalGhostbusters.com. And they're on Facebook, too. They're the same. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, that pretty much wraps up this edition of Ghost Heads. If anybody has any questions, comments, suggestions, email them to us, ghostheads@gmail.com.
Hate mail.
Yeah, the classic hate mail. It's always fun.
Whoa. But
there is no such thing as bad email. You can also check us out on Facebook. All you have to do is just go to the search box, type in Ghost Heads. It's the first group that comes up. We do new shows. Different people will post different pictures in a costume and whatnot. It's a pretty good place to find all the main information. Well, guys, this was definitely cool. I feel like I was at Dragon Con, but not at the same time with all the filler. And I thank you all for coming on. This definitely was fun. Don't you think so, Luke?
Okay. I think it was
next year.
Stupendously, epically excellent. And I really wish I could be there. And I'm going to try and come next year. So
that's
a lot of bad
cities. Because, hi to all the single ladies, because hell, it's me. Nobody needs to see me.
Yeah, as of right now, I'm going to try and come next year, but I can't make any guarantees.
But you have a whole year to
plan.
Yes,
because we all know Jason is like a butterfly. Nobody ever sees who he looks like. He's very elusive.
That's true. So I could sneak in, sneak out, and no one would know.
I refer to them as Wilson. Except we kind of saw more of Wilson, so we kid because we care.
That's true.
Then again, what do I know? I'm from New York.
And done. Well, that is it for this edition of Ghost Heads. I'm Jason Hughes.
I'm Luke Rosselli.
We'll catch you on the flip side.
Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters and they're in control. Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the slime was under the building. So they packed up and grew, got a grip, came equipped, grabbed their proton packs off the back, then they split. Find out about Beagle, the master of evil. Trying to battle my boys? That's not legal. They're in control. Get out it.
Baby.
When the light is green, the crap is clean.